Along Galveston Bay, the big collision is still fresh in the minds of people who have a front row seat to the very busy Houston Ship Channel. John McMichael is a retired Navy submarine officer who manages a park on Pelican Island.
They knew they were there. They were on the radar. It's hard to fathom that it would have happened in today's world.
But it did happen on a foggy Saturday this past March. A fuel barge collided with a much larger freighter.
You were here when it happened?
Yeah.
Don Lee runs a bait shack at the entrance to a fishing pier.
Didn't hear anything like that until they announced on the TV.
The collision and resulting spill of 170,000 gallons of fuel oil shut down his business for weeks because Pelican Island's shoreline was coated with the thick oil. But now after a cleanup, the oil looks like it's all gone. People are back on the pier to fish and to look out across the water at what can seem like a traffic jam of enormous ships.
Here comes how many now? One, two, three, four?
Yeah, they're probably waiting for the Galveston pilots. They have to wait their turn.
On that Saturday in March, it was the pilot of the big freighter and the skipper of the smaller barge that were talking by radio about the collision they both knew was about to happen.
Well, if you keep on going, I'm going to get you. Because right now, I'm less than 3/4 mile from you, and you ain't got to the channel yet.
All right. Yeah, I'm glad I called you here. All right.
The audio, first obtained by the Houston Chronicle, was from the minutes leading up to the collision. Given the size and unstoppable momentum of the two vessels, the collision unfolded like a disaster in slow motion.
I'm looking at you now, and don't look good.
Yeah, I don't look good.
Not good at all, because it was too late to change course, and the freighter struck the barge broadside.
But on behalf of the United States Coast Guard.
In hearings led by the U.S. Coast Guard last week in Galveston, the pilots and skippers at the helm of the vessels gave investigators insight into what led to the collision. There was testimony that the barge's radio warnings of its position might not have been heard initially by the freighter, and that the freighter might have unexpectedly increased its speed, throwing off the barge's calculations of how much time it had to clear the channel. But there was a bigger issue brought up, not by the Coast Guard.
I think the safety board's got a vested interest in this.
But by the National Transportation Safety Board. It also had a member on the investigative panel, Rob Jones. Jones cited past accidents in other ports in which the NTSB had recommended that the Coast Guard be more aggressive in monitoring ship traffic and communicating with vessels to try to head off collisions before they happened. But Jones said in this case, the testimony he heard indicated the Coast Guard had not done that.
And everything I'm hearing from you is, I mean, you're given this authority, but what you're telling me is you have no way to identify a risk of collision. So why is it written?
Identifying that risk of collision would be the responsibility of Coast Guard officials in what's called the Vessel Traffic Service. It's the maritime equivalent of an air traffic control tower. From a room located at Ellington Field, the Coast Guard monitors 8 screens showing images from radar and video from 26 cameras up and down the Houston Ship Channel. But the Coast Guard's Lieutenant Commander, Teresa Hatfield, who led the hearing, told me it's not up to the Coast Guard to give orders to ship pilots.
We are not pilots, they're not ship's captains, and they are not the ones out there on the water body that see everything that's going on.
In testimony, the Coast Guard's director of the Houston Control Center defended his personnel as having done all they could and pointed out that despite tens of thousands of vessels using the ship channel every year, collisions, he said, are vanishingly rare. For State Impact Texas, I'm Dave Failing.